Good morning, brothers and sisters. I greet all of you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcoming all of you and also those who are joining us online. I greet you. We are so grateful to God for the blessing of last night, for the mighty word of God, which we may keep in our hearts. We are grateful to God for the wonderful songs, also for the trumpet choir. It's just so wonderful to praise and glorify the name of the Lord. We cannot do it enough. Just feel at home in the presence of God. Together, we want to sing two songs, and then Brother Alfred Borg will read us the word for introduction, and Brother Schmidt will pray with us. And after the prayer, I ask the parents to come to the front to consecrate their children to the Lord. Let us start with song number 25 from these little booklets. Number 25. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Number 25.
Oh, come, come.
Oh, how wonderful. Let us also tune in. 27, number 27. At the cross, is it true that Jesus died for me? Number 27. Thank you. Amen. Is it true that Jesus died for me? It is true. He died for you. He died for me. And he took my sin away. We actually could all testify of it. What the Lord has done for us on the cross of Calvary. At the cross, the morning broke through. Is it true? And the eye of the blind was opened. Our spiritual eyes, our Lord opened for that what He is doing now. For I let the Savior enter into my heart. Hosanna. Now the peace is mine. Praise and thanks for these wonderful songs. We are grateful to God to be here this morning. Probably it's the last meeting in this year of this kind. God willing, and if we live, we will again be gathered in the new year to hear God's word. Sometimes we ask ourselves, where is the time gone? That's how a songwriter sings. The time is running so fast. Brothers and sisters, just a few days 50 years ago, it pleased God to take his servant and prophet home. The food was stored in. And since then, the food with great success is being given out worldwide. All of us, or some of us, are eye and ear witnesses of that, what the Lord has done in these 50 years. All of us, we can testify of what he has done for us personally. And we can truly say with all our hearts, Lord, you have done great things in all of us. Therefore, I would like to read for a word for introduction, Psalms 103, the first five verses. Psalms 103, the first five verses. I ask that we all stand up for it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Up to here. A wonderful psalm. Forget not. That's how David says. Forget not all his benefits. May the Lord bless us. I ask that Brother Schmidt comes to pray with us. Almighty God, we are looking up to you in this hour which you have given us anew, that we may appear here in your presence, O God of heaven. We thank you and we ask you, give us, each one of us, the grace to give you the glory and the praise and the thanks, to exalt your name, for Lord in heaven, you are worthy to be praised. Be merciful to us here at this place. Be also merciful to all those who would like to be here and who cannot be here because of old age or weakness. But you, the great God, you who you revealed yourself in Christ Jesus our Lord, you took all our weaknesses upon yourself, O God, and you nailed them to the cross. Thank you that you are still speaking to us today. As we heard it already last night, Lord, help us in all circumstances to give you all the praise. For you prepared yourself a place where you are revealing your name, and to this place we are coming, namely in you, in Christ Jesus. There's no other place, neither in heaven nor on earth, but only you, O Lord Jesus. You are the God in whom we find salvation, in whom we have security and safety. Thank you. Please bless us. Bless all who are joining us online, Lord. Everywhere, all over the earth. And give us all grace that we give you the glory and the praise. Please, be merciful to us. Be merciful to him through whom you will speak to us. in all the world. Anoint the lips. Give instructions, Lord. Give strength, O Lord. Revelation, O God, for the glory of your name. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. I'm overwhelmed of what we heard already in the songs for the glory of the Lord, what we sent up to the throne of grace. Our hearts are really filled with thankfulness, for God has helped us on the day of salvation. He truly has given us grace, and that what the Lord promised is of course connected with reality. The promises of God are not hanging in the air. The promises of God are being fulfilled in us and through us and amongst us, just as it was at the first coming of the Lord, that 109 prophecies were fulfilled from the Old Testament. And if when we then read on in the New Testament, we truly have 845 places where it is referred in the New Testament to the Old Testament. And exactly 333 of them refer to our Lord and to the finished work of redemption. Beloved, it's just like that, that God has a plan of salvation. And at the time of fulfillment, He lets it be manifested. Really, with the start of the New Testament, of course, the fulfillment of that, what God promised in all of the Old Testament, from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, whatever was promised, it is, everything took place, of course. And our Lord could say, did not all have to be fulfilled, what is written in the law of Moses, in the Psalms, and in the prophets about me? Everything was fulfilled. In Him, the Redeemer. And everything what was promised to the redeemed will also be fulfilled in them and through them. And as it was sung, that the morning broke through to us at the cross, I had to read it up in Matthew 27. We have sung, at the cross, there the morning broke through to me. And here we have it. Here it's written in verse 45, Matthew 27, verse 45. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. Here on the earth, it became dark. But our Lord, of course, not only died, He rose. This was the confirmation of that the redemption is fulfilled, is finished. And all of us, we were placed and included into this plan of salvation of our God. Brother Alfred Borg already mentioned the last meeting of this kind. We have it now in this year. And yesterday, we made a brief review to some things what God has done in our time worldwide. And we are very, very grateful for it. It was really a special year. Just let us think on the countries of the Persian Gulf, Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Pakistan. Let us think on how God opened the doors. Also at the TV station in Lahore, Pakistan. How often I preached there in the past years, in the past 45 years I preached there. And behold, the hour came where God opened even more doors. And a man sits there and he said, my grandfather, he told me much about Brother Branham. In my Muslim country, in a TV station, and behold, God has his own everywhere so that his word can be preached at the right time. And I greeted just now Brother Kukaczka from Prague. I really had to think about that a Brother Frank preached in the chapel, in the Bethlehem chapel, in which Jan Hus preached 100 years before Martin Luther. And then came the time where a Brother Frank had some meetings in the Bethlehem chapel, which were recorded there. He could preach there. And Brother Siegfried Fleck, he of course translated me. Brothers and sisters, I could go from country to country, from continent to continent, and report you how God has led and guided everything, how he opened doors. Let us think on my last trip in November, Cuba. Yes, God just took care of it. Also, this must be emphasized time and again. Where is a place on earth where it is being translated simultaneously into 12 various languages, and that really all over the earth can hear and can experience with us. It's just very mighty. And God also blessed our brother Erwin Pacheco, who translates into the Spanish language. God has all the brothers who translate into the other languages. He blessed them. Let us think on our brother Jean Lambert. If one takes all the French-speaking people, then it's a great task which he fulfills. Let us think on Brother Tati, who accompanied me on so many journeys. All are finding their place to serve the Lord in this last period of time, to be available for him, so that we really can preach the word in all tongues and nations. And as it was reported to me that Brother John in Bucharest was translating my sermon, which I preached in Guyana, in Brazil. He translated it directly from the English into the Romanian language. And it can be heard of everybody. Today, Brother Cecil phoned me from Pretoria, and he said, Brother Frank, I'm overwhelmed. I read the circular letter, and I just thought, just underline the important sentences. He's listening now, and then he said, Brother Frank, if I would have really underlined everything, what has a special meaning for me, then I could have started at the first line, and I could have ended at the last line. It's just like that, that God takes care of it. The brother from Port Elizabeth, all are phoning me. It's just so mighty, brothers and sisters. If one has the emails from yesterday and then the emails from today, we are just connected with all the world, with all brothers and sisters. We are joined in the Lord. Although we cannot read all of them today, but of course they know that I read every email personally, and I'm grateful with all my heart for them. That really all over the earth, all can listen and hear. Then, in this circular letter, we put the photograph there with the sermon tapes of Brother Branham. We've said it here. It's one thing to claim something and to say something, and it's a completely different thing whether it's really like this. And it is really like this, that I received every sermon which Brother Branham preached. They send it to me. And whoever would like to see it with his own eyes, he just needs to go next to my office, in the room next to my office. And he can look at these tapes. Why do I mention this? Because God took care of it. The same God who commanded Brother Branham not to go together with Brother Argenbright to Switzerland because of the 5 meetings there, which were arranged there, but rather to return to Jeffersonville and to store in the food there. The same God and Lord said it to me, to store in the food. And the prophet of God, of course, said, wait with the giving out of the food until you get the rest of it. God knew from the beginning the end. He knew it. He took care for everything. We don't want to go here into all the details, but just thanking the Lord with all our hearts. And Brother Alfred Borg, he can confirm it the best. Since December 1959, we translated in the house of the family Borg, just 12, 13, 14 people, we started in the house to translate the sermons of Brother Branham. And 1963, after Brother Branham spoke about the 7 seals, I sat down and I wrote my first book, The Council of God. Many were blessed by this book. From the beginning on, we grew up with that, what God ordained for this time. We were entrusted with it. And as I said last night already, 60 years ago, when I met Brother Branham for the first time, when I heard him and saw him, and when I greeted him, yes, in all these 60 years, of course, many things have come and gone again. And as I've written it in a circular letter, God is my witness. I've seen Brother Branham on the 24th of December, 65. I have seen him going up on a cloud, bent over like this. Here the cloud, and on the cloud, I saw him going up without knowing that he had an accident, without knowing that at that moment he went home. But God takes care for everything. We just need to let ourselves be placed into the plan of salvation, and the rest God will do with us and in us by His grace. Now, just briefly, coming back to my last trip, God really has given grace. And if I think about, also now in my old age, yes, at that time I was 22, and 60 years later, one is of course older, and nevertheless, on my last trip, it was 13 or 14 times taking off and landing, take off and landing, take off and landing. And as I said already, especially in the city of Havana, that God has given the grace that in the last moment, before the aircraft took off, yes, we experienced the emergency brake, that it didn't happen somewhere in the air, but it still happened on the earth. Our time didn't arrive yet. And then in all the other countries, in Peru, and especially in Brazil, where God opened the doors. And when I think about it, there in Brazil, how God has laid everything. A sister were staying from Switzerland, Sister Baumgartner. She had her place. One day, I remember her name. And this sister, do you know it? Liz? Aha. And this sister, she had a missionary spirit. She had a connection to India, and she had a connection to Brazil. And this sister in Switzerland, she took care of it when she heard that Brother Frank will make a journey through South America. She took care of, and she gave me the address of the family Miskis in Sao Paulo, so that I would visit them when I'm on that trip, that I would contact them there. I tell you, if I think about all the details, how God has led and guided everything from city to city, from country to country. And she was it who had the connection to India, where I made my first missionary trip in 1964. Just so wonderful. God took care for everything. Let us think now, especially on the DRC, how God opened the doors. Where would 18,000 people come together in a stadium? Where? Just so wonderful. God took care for everything. May the Lord bless our brothers. I don't know whether Brother Arben is here, or is he here, Brother Arben? Then we would have asked the brothers to say a few words and to greet the meeting here. We appreciate it that our brother from Kinshasa can be here. All the brothers who are coming from near and far, ministers of the word, who give out the same food, May God bless all of you from the riches of His grace. You can, of course, understand that the commission which God has given us, that we have to carry it out faithfully and to preach the word as true as the Lord lives. He commanded me to get up and to read 2 Timothy chapter 4. Preach the word, be it in season or out of season. For the time will come where they will not endure the sound doctrine, but they will heap up unto themselves teachers, and they will turn away from the truth. We turned to the truth, and only the truth sets free. And as we looked upon it yesterday, God is a personal God. He wants to have fellowship with us. And we want to have fellowship with Him. And He, of course, said it, "You shall build me a house, for I want to dwell among you and walk among you." And then it is written, when Stephen, in the book of Acts, when Acts 7, when Stephen spoke, Acts 7, that God would not dwell in a house which is built by men. Acts 7. Here Stephen really sets forth all of the plan of salvation. He lines it out with the people of Israel, even with Joseph, which God used and whom he sent to store in the food and to then give it out when the time would have come. And then he sets forth what happened with Israel from verse 31. Even from verse 30, Acts 7, verse 30, "And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush." And whoever reads on will, of course, see how precisely it is described. "Moses, put off your shoes, for you are standing on holy ground. Brothers and sisters, I ask for your respect before the word of God." If we have no respect before the word of God, what then? Firstly, we have to know that the Holy God speaks to us, and that we have to hearken to that, what He has to say to us. Then it continues, verse 35, at the end, with the angel who appeared to him from the bush. He has set forth everything, even of Moses, who was at that time a mediator between the angel and the people of Israel. Verse 38. "This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers, who received the living oracles to give unto us." He just sets forth, and he sets forth, and then he comes to the disobedience of the people of Israel. Verse 44 in particular. And then in verse 48, Acts 7, 48. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has not my hand made all these things? And then it comes, brothers and sisters, that our Lord had to rebuke the unbelief and the hardness of heart who didn't believe him. Here, verse 51, Stephen sets it forth. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Brothers and sisters, an open heart with an inner agreement to that what God has said, this may God give us all. One could read on and on. Let us go directly to the most precious words to us. As read yesterday already from 1 John. Here, 1 John, it's of course written, 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, it's the continuation of chapter 3. Here it's written in verse 1, 1 John 4, verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And then we are coming straight to verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Then verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is true until this day. Only he who is of God heareth the words of God. We mentioned it yesterday already. Publicly, we are accused that we don't believe as all the other churches and denominations, that we don't believe in the so-called Holy Trinity, but that we only believe in the one single God. And it just has to be said, all of the world is in error, just as Paul has written it. I, as the preacher of God, what have I to do with a creed which was established more than 300 years after Christ and the apostles? It was hammered and put together by some pagans, by heathens who didn't know the Old Testament, who didn't know God at all, who just established a doctrine. What have I to do with Athanasius or with Arius or with one of these people? I, of course, have to do with that, what God said through Peter, through James, through John, through Paul, what he left unto us in his word. Of course, not with that, what Augustine said one day, who became father with 16. No, such things we don't need. We need that what was preached by them at the beginning, whom God has set and ordained. And also Paul could say, he who set me into his ministry, he said to me. Also, this must be emphasized time and again. We don't judge the others. We just leave everything to God. The judgment belongs to God on the last day. But we have to preach the truth, because the end must be as the beginning was. And we believe that there's only one true God who revealed himself to us as Father in his Son, and who established the connection to himself, because God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. And our Lord and Savior, he could say, he who sees me sees the Father. And whoever reads in 1 John chapter 5, the last couple of verses, he will of course understand it by now. 1 John chapter 5, here it's written in verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. The whole world lies in wickedness, in error. This almost sounds that we are puffed up. No, somebody says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. Whoever judges this naturally, he says, oh, he takes his mouth fully. No, he just said that what God already said. And all who are of God are hearing the voice of God. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And now comes this mighty verse. And we know, not we assume, or perhaps we know, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. A divine knowing. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. In the most terrible trials through which he had to go, his wife, all his family, everything was gone, and nevertheless, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And here we read it once again, verse 20. We know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. That's how it was preached at the beginning, and that's how it is being preached now at the end. And God, of course, used Brother Branham to bring the church back to the beginning by his preaching. Let us go back to Romans chapter 10. It's just so mighty how the Spirit of God could lead this man of God to set forth the whole plan of salvation in such a way. In Romans chapter 10, we have an overall view of that, what God decided, what God ordained for us, and what he has given to us. Firstly, the last verse from Romans chapter 9, Romans 9, the last verse, verse 33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. To some, the precious cornerstone, whom the builders rejected, and to the others, a stone of stumbling. And Peter, of course, has written it in his epistle very clearly. Here, 1 Peter, it's of course written, to some a stumbling block, and to the others a blessing. 1 Peter, chapter 2. Let us read these verses before we come back to Romans 10. 1 Peter, chapter 2. From verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be put to shame. And now we are addressed. Now we are spoken to in verse 7. Unto you, therefore, who trust, the Lord said, trust in God, trust in me. We received trust. We trust the Lord. We trust his word. We trust his promises. God is trustworthy. Ye therefore who trust and believe, he is precious. Once again, verse 7. Unto you therefore who trust, he is precious. But unto the unbelievers, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is made the cornerstone. Yes, some rejoice about it. They are edified, built up. The cornerstone is the capstone. And as Brother Branham said in his sermons, he testified of it. The capstone will also be put there. Because the cornerstone is also the capstone. And in Zechariah 4, the capstone shall be put there under the shout, grace unto him, grace unto him. God started and God will finish. And as I've written it in the circular letter, He who completed his creation work, he is the same who completes his work of redemption. And by his grace, we may have part in it. Here it's written, verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So, whoever remains disobedient and whoever remains in unbelief is ordained to be offended. Whoever remains in obedience and belief, he is ordained to be edified, to be built up unto a house of God in the Spirit. And so we are just so grateful that we not only read the difference here in the Scripture, no, we experience the difference personally. That what the others are stumbling over. Let us remember the things which Brother Branham said about the fall. I will never forget it. A practical doctor, some years ago, he visited me on Louisen Street 160. He heard of that, what Brother Branham said concerning the fall. And this doctor, he had his job in Wuppertal. But that what he said over his lips, in reference to that what Brother Branham said about the beguiling of Eve and what really happened there, there he really used very terrible words about it. And he was offended at it. We all know that the begetting by the flesh has brought death. And it had to be, there had to come a begetting of the Spirit to make the fall well again. We all know that the history had a prehistory and that God revealed unto his servant and prophet all these things. And for this, we are grateful with all our hearts. Let us come now. Yes, they are stumbling in their unbelief and in their disobedience. They are stumbling at the word. Let us come back to Romans chapter 10. Here we have it. An overall view about that, about which it is now also in our time. Romans chapter 10. We read from verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him up from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This is a direct message addressed to all who have not yet experienced a true conversion yet. Our faith, our belief must be scripturally from the beginning, not just believing something, but believing as it is written here. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, do you confess him as your Lord? This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, that he is not just someone, but that he is the Lord himself. He became servant to give us the redemption. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, as Lord, he is God. If thou confess with thy mouth Jesus as the Lord and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. All who believe this scripturally, your salvation is sure. Whoever you may be today, wherever you might be, if you believe this, if you read it slowly, this verse, and if you believe with your heart, and if you confess with your mouth, then it has happened. Then God has been gracious to you. Let us read on, verse 14. Verse 14. No, not 14. 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. So, at a conversion, we put our trust not in good pretensions, which we want to do now. No, we just put our trust upon the Lord, in the blessed and holy assurance that He, on the cross of Calvary, that He died for us, so that we might receive the salvation of our souls, receiving the remission of our sins. But it goes on here, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Also this, we said here before, time and again, a conversion doesn't happen with silent lips. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will save you, and thou shalt praise me. So, let us call upon the name of the Lord, and then salvation is sure to us. Now comes even more, brothers and sisters, verse 14 and 15 and 17. Here it's written from verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So, the message must be preached. Therefore, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the world, to every creature. Then verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So, it must be preached. Also, the last message must be preached all over the earth. How can the people believe what God promised if it is not being preached to them? The most important in this time period is that to all of mankind, the whole counsel of God is being preached with all promises, so that they, after all, can believe. If they don't hear it, they cannot believe it. And therefore, the message must be preached. Then it continues, the lining out in verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed our message? So, not only message, but who has believed to receive what God had to say to us. Verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing the message, and hearing by the word of God. Yes, everything referred to the word. Everything must be in agreement with the word. And this is the grace which God has given to us from the very beginning, that we always go back to the word, to say that what God already said in his word. And now, coming back to that, what we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, let me read from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, to see how the Spirit of God will lead us. Here, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we read yesterday that the message of calling out, of separation, must take place so that God can dwell amongst us. Because nothing unclean can stand before him. How can a believer have agreement with an unbeliever? How does the service of God is in agreement with idol worship? God separated from the beginning the light from darkness, and so it will be until the end. There's no mixing possible. There are only two different seeds. The one is the word, and the Son of Man sowed the good seed, and all whom he called to preach his word, they sow the good seed. And all who come sometime behind, they sow their own interpretations. Thanks be to God. And this we don't say because we are puffed up. No, this we say with a deep and grateful heart. Until today, we didn't preach one interpretation, not one explanation, but we preach God's word in the original, and we believe it. But after 2 Corinthians 6 comes then chapter 7, and especially also verse 1, 2 Corinthians 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Ye, my people, come out, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. And then, having therefore these promises, namely the promise, last verse, in chapter 6, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Just very mighty, that God really thought on everything. And in Romans chapter 8, everything is put wonderfully in order. Romans 8. We have the list of that, what God shows to us. And we also know
was er beanstandet,
that everything what he complains about, that he gives us the grace that we can make it right, that we just agree with him. And that what he prepared for us, that it also can take place in us. Romans 8, we read from verse 9. Romans 8 from verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God really dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Brothers and sisters, the first, what God does through the new birth, and here we must differentiate between the new birth through the Word and Spirit, and between the filling with the Spirit of God. The one is the birth. The one is the new life which God works in us. And the other one is the infilling with the Holy Spirit to put us together as the body of Christ, as written in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. By one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. And so we read here, we continue to read Romans chapter 8, verse 10 and verse 11. And if Christ dwell in you, here we have the second word, and if Christ dwell in you, not only just visiting one day, no. If Christ dwell in you, the body is dead because of sin, but your spirit is life because of righteousness. Just very mighty. Dwell in you. If Christ dwells in you, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And here we have a connection to the Word by the Spirit of God. It's God's work from the very beginning. Forgiveness, grace, and salvation. It's God's supernatural working in us, so that he can take dwelling in us, in our hearts, by the Holy Spirit. Then it's no more our own effort, then it's the Spirit of God who lives in us and who works in us. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Yesterday, we were reading and heard about it. What is written? I will dwell amongst you and walk amongst you, and I will be your God. If he dwells in us, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Blessed and praised be the Lord, who does a complete work from the conversion, new birth, infilling with the Holy Spirit, taking dwelling in us. Please switch off that thing. That we can just believe with all our hearts. Having part in that, what God is doing right now. But it continues here. Let us go back to Romans 7. Romans 7. We read in verse 7. Romans 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. We don't want to read much here. The law was necessary to show the human being that he's in a fallen condition. Without the law, no salvation and pardoning could have happened at all. The law judged us in all our trespasses, and the grace acquitted us. And the Lord, of course, entered with his own blood into the Holy of Holies to make everything well. Everything what condemned us, whatever judged and sentenced us, whatever was against us, he took it upon himself. Our guilt was laid upon him. As the songwriter sings, I was cleansed by the sin. I entered into the joy. I praise my King forever. About the law, no discussion has to be made. We just recognize that God has laid it in such a way to convict us of sin, namely because of that what he has written in the law. Thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not. And all of us, we trespassed the law. And James writes, whoever trespassed one of the commandments, trespassed all of them. Because he who said, thou shalt not commit adultery, he also said, thou shalt not lie and thou shalt not steal. So all of us, we came under the sentencing. And we all were acquitted. And even your sin would be red as scarlet, it shall become whiter than the snow. And this God did by his grace in us and through us. Please receive it and accept it by faith. In Romans 7, we read straight in verse 24 and 25, Romans 7, 24 and 25, here it's written, for we were saved in the hope. I'm in chapter 8, chapter 7, verse 24.
7,
verse 24 and 25. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. It's just so mighty. All of us, we are still on this earth. And just be honest now. All of us, we have to remain of a clear mind, whether in family, whether in the marriage, whether at work. All of us, all the natural life runs in natural ranks. But wherever we are, we remain children of God. And children of God do not do things about which others are stumbling, but just remaining sober and normal in every circumstance, but being joined with God on our inside. And then we can go with this word from Romans 7, we can go straight to Romans 12. And here it is being said to us very clearly, Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, from verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Our body shall become the temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants to confirm His word through us. He wants to live out His word through us. He wants to fulfill His promises through us. Therefore, the command that we present our bodies, making them available for our Lord, serving Him in the Spirit. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, how precious is God's word. Not only having heard the message, the message has a content, and God has given us so many things, so much, as in no other period of time since 2,000 years. Let us be honest now, sincere. Even the apostles, that what God revealed to them, they wrote these things down for us, as we read yesterday in Peter, and also in that what Paul has said. God knew the end before the beginning, and also especially the promise for our time. There is no way around it. God is only in His word, and His word has become the lamp unto our feet and a bright shining light along our way. So, let us take Romans 12 to heart. Let us present our whole life so that He comes to His right with all of us. And now we are coming to three verses which refer to our personal lives. Romans 14. Here it's written in verse 4. Romans 14, verse 4. How art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. So nobody needs to make himself thoughts about his neighbor. And if you like to do it, please only in prayer, but not in a conversation. This I've said here before, not speaking about one another, but speaking with one another. And also in this case, only if something is here. Otherwise, we leave everyone to the Lord. Let us read it once again. How art thou? Who art thou? That somebody judges another man's servant. To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for his Lord is able to make him stand. Brothers and sisters, if I look back to the past 60 years and the past 50 years, yes, beloved, then I can only say, God kept his word. He kept his hand over it, that we are still here, that we can still carry the word. God is faithful. God is faithful. And it comes to fulfillment, what he said. And here are two more scriptures. And in the same chapter, Romans 14, verse 7 to 10. Romans 14, verse 7 up to 10. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. Just very, very mighty, wonderful. Then it continues, verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Please, let us take this to heart. To despise no one. Not to even think about it. To what you have done. What God has forgiven you. Thank God for it. And leave the brother and sister in peace. They will bring the things before God what they have done. And they will receive just forgiveness as you received forgiveness. No one needs to be the judge over the other. This we said many times. There's only the fivefold ministry, namely apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. There's no sixth ministry with a judge. No. The Holy Spirit comes upon us, and the Holy Spirit convicts you, not for the other, but convicts you and leads you to repentance, not the other one on whom you are thinking, but before the presence of God, we are all looking into the mirror. And we see ourselves in this mirror, and we thank the Lord for it, that he has given grace to everybody. With some, the life runs smoothly, and others are going through trials. You are not in the situation of the other. Please remain. Don't despise. Don't judge. But thank God for the forgiveness. Thank God for the salvation and the grace. Then we have it here in the same chapter, verse 13, Romans 14, verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Beloved, we truly, we really got everything said in the Word of God. Let us summarize it once again. In the last message, the full gospel is being preached, just as it was preached at the beginning. Repent, be converted, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everyone who believes with all his heart that his sins are forgiven, not only forgiven in the water baptism, but by the blood of the new covenant, they were forgiven. The water baptism is the confirmation that our sins are forgiven. Also here, one has to read all scriptures precisely. Also there, where Paul was baptized, that his sins are forgiven by calling upon the name of the Lord. Not in baptism, but by calling upon the name of the Lord. It's just very important to read every scripture concerning a subject. The one scripture complements the other scripture. And then we have an overall view. So the same gospel which was preached at the beginning is being now preached now. Also today, all who would like to be baptized, please, firstly, repent, regret the transgressions, the sinning life, regretting it, recognizing, I'm lost, I'm judged, but the Lord saved me, He has shed His blood, He has forgiven me. I receive and accept the forgiveness, and I believe. With God, everything has its place from the very beginning. Also the various experiences of salvation, which we have to make by His grace. And it shall happen like this, that not a dry sinner is being dipped under and a wet sinner comes out of the water, but that we receive assurance of salvation. And today we will pray for all who would like to be baptized. We will pray for you here at the front, that God gives you this assurance of being saved, that no one has to have any doubts anymore, but that everybody has perfect faith and can go into the water knowing it's a covenant of a good conscience with God, forgiveness, receiving grace and forgiveness, and thus being consecrated to the Lord. He who died, whoever died with Christ is being buried with Him. And as He rose from the dead, so we, by the power of the resurrection, we were called into a new life by God. And we thank the Lord for the perfect redemption. And once again it shall be emphasized that God has given us so much grace that we really in this time have come out from all error, that we heard the last call, the last message. Also this, we took it to our hearts. How shall they hear it, except there is a preacher? How shall there be a preacher without being sent? We may say it, and we must say it always, with an inner certainty. The commission which Moses received, which all the prophets received, was wonderful. Yes, today we are interested in that, what happens in our time. And as I said last night already, not only of the period of 33 to 46, many things happened there. Also this, let me say it, so that we know that Brother Branham was just a human being. His mother-in-law, she didn't want that he goes to the Pentecostal people. And she used a very terrible word for it, how she called the Pentecostals. And Brother Branham, he just submitted and he drew back. And then came 1937, the great flood. The Ohio River flooded. His wife was called home. His daughter died. And the Lord mightily spoke to him. Also he had to walk difficult ways. He walked difficult ways. But then came the 7th of May, 1946, when the angel of the Lord came down in the light into his room, and he told him, "I am sent from the presence of the Almighty God to give you the commission." And in detail, he told him what would take place, even how he should take with his left hand the right hand of the patient, and how the sickness, the disease of the patient would appear on his hand. All the details concerning his divine commission, which was connected with it, all the details were said to him. And then the words, "If you get the people to believe you, then nothing will withstand your prayer, not even cancer." Not even cancer. And the most sicknesses which were healed in the ministry of Brother Branham were cancer cases. God confirmed his word. It was spoken out with Almighty. What is about today? Today it's about that our attention is being drawn to the message, to the word which was preached at the beginning, which is now being preached. How often, Brother Branham said, the message of the hour is back to the word, back to the beginning, back to that what the apostles taught in the commission of God. And we are just so grateful that we don't glorify a man, that we're not making a cult, that we don't erect a golden calf, not dancing around it, having divine respect. We received what God has done in our time. And we believe what Brother Branham was said on the 11th of June 1933, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. 18 times Brother Branham repeated it. It's enough for me, and I'm very grateful to God. So, not just two time periods from 33 to 46 or from 46 to 65. No, by grace, we may have part in that what God is doing in these past 50 years all over the earth. Also this, we have said at this place many times, Brother Branham, after the opening of the seals, he didn't make any missionary trip anymore. But he left it up to God. He had fulfilled his task. And with the opening of the seven seals, that what God had to say to us, everything was said. God didn't forget anything. And I say it once again, the indescribable grace is therein that we can place everything scripturally and letting ourselves be placed scripturally, that we abide in the Word, because it says, sanctify them in the truth, thy word is the truth. And everything what God has promised in His Word, we may receive it by faith, accepting it, and we will experience everything up to the latter rain, the last supernatural moving of God, which will then merge in the rapture, in the resurrection of those who died in Christ, and in the changing of our bodies, it will merge. God has a plan of salvation, and this plan He completes. He has helped us on the day of salvation. To Him, the only God, be the glory and the praise for everything. Thanks be to Him for the blood of the new covenant. Thanks be to Him for His holy and precious word. Thanks be to Him for His Spirit, who leads us into all truth. To Him, the Almighty God, be all the glory and all the praise throughout all eternity. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Let us stand up. Let us sing the chorus, Just As I Am. Before we sing again, let me just say here, whoever would like to come to the front, please come, come to the front. Whoever would like to rededicate his life to the Lord, consecrate it to Him. May this really be the day which the Lord has made for you, for me, for all of us. That we go from here with the full blessing of God. We can receive and accept God where we are. God is omnipresent, yes. And we ask now, all who would like to be baptized, Please come firstly to the front. And it's Brother Jean-Claude here. Perhaps he sings us the Maranatha song in the French language. Is Brother Jean-Claude in our midst? I don't know. Is he here? Please come to the front. And now we sing Just As I Am, and you are coming to the front. All who would like to be baptized, please come now to the front. And you also come. Amen. Hallelujah. We can all tune in. It's the same word in all the languages. Sometimes such a deep gratefulness gets hold of me that that we can be here gathered in so many languages, that I would really like it best if the brothers would pray in the Russian language and in the various languages at this place. Just letting the prayer of thanks ascending to the throne of grace in the various languages. God has given Abraham the promise, "In thee shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed." Let us think on Isaiah 42, Isaiah 49, that thou shalt become the salvation in all nations. Not only Israel, all nations are included in the plan of salvation. God started with Israel and he will end with Israel. And he will complete his plan of salvation. We can really leave everything up to him. Now a word addressed to all who need healing. Here, right in the second row, our sister is sitting, Sister Keck. She experienced a wonderful healing. She could actually come to the front to testify of it. What happened with her spine? What kind of effect it had on her left leg? And the doctors didn't know how it could go on anymore. And she suffered such pain. She didn't know how it would like to go on. She didn't know how it would go on. Her words, we cannot say it here. But she was so desperate. And then Brother Willy Keck, after the last weekend of last month, he came into my office and he told it to me. It was really spontaneously. Spontaneously it was on my heart. Tell him. He shall go to Sister Gerda. I gave him oil and I said, read Isaiah 53 from verse 1 and read James 5 from verse 14. Anoint Sister Gerda with oil. Lay your hand upon her. And it happened. Raise your hand if it's right. There you see the hand. God confirmed the word on the spot. Be courageous. Take God at his word. By his stripes we were, of course, healed. Now a word addressed to all our beloved who would like to be baptized. May the Lord God bless you. You believe with all your heart that the Lord received you, that he accepted you, that you became his own possession, that your sin and guilt is forgiven, and you would like to make a covenant of a good conscience with God. The Lord bless you and be with you. Let us now pray. Great God, we thank you with all our hearts. Before us, we see that you are calling out from all peoples, tongues, and nations. Lord, bless our brothers, bless our sisters, and in particular our brother, who is sitting here in the wheelchair, who had such a terrible accident and who is now paralyzed. Beloved Lord, with you all things are possible. All things are possible. all things are possible, O Lord. Confirm thy word on him. Great God, you have strengthened us in the faith, and I pray for all who have special prayer requests, who have troubles. Please, don't go home like this. Now, together we will pray. We will trust the Lord together, and we believe that he will make all things well. Lord, Almighty God, bless all my brothers, all my sisters. Your word is true. The redemption, salvation, healing is reality. And we thank you that you are confirming your word. May all who weep be comforted. May all who have trouble, whatever it might be, the reason, be merciful, O Lord. For it's just a little while, then he will come, who shall come, and will not tarry, beloved Lord. May also this weekend serve for the preparation. To you, the Almighty God, we thank you. Please bless all brothers, all sisters, in all peoples, tongues, and nations. Bless our brothers from Kinshasa, from everywhere. Bless from near and far. And be merciful to all of us. We commit also the end of this year into your hand. And inasmuch as you give us a new year, everything is grace. And we commit ourselves unto you and unto your grace. Be with us, Lord. Lift up thy countenance over us and give us thy peace and thy blessing. And may the love of God, which is higher than all understanding of men, may it fill our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. May the love be the bond of perfection. May it surround the body of Christ, combining us, uniting us, as the sheaf was waved on the day of Pentecost, consecrating it to the Lord, so also we want to be combined with you and with one another. May one respect the other higher than himself. To you, the Almighty God, I thank you for your precious and holy word, which you revealed unto us. We believe every word, and we thank you with all our hearts for it. Hallelujah. And all the people said, Hallelujah. And all the people say, Amen. And together we say, Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. Come soon. Your bride is making herself ready. Blessed and praised be your wonderful and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Perhaps quickly, the announcement. God willing, on Saturday, on the second weekend, Saturday the 2nd, January, and Sunday the 3rd of January, we will be again gathered here. The wish was expressed whether it would be possible that sisters, where many children, that they will remain at home until we have prepared a room for very small and little children. There's just too much disturbance. Please bear with it. Wherever it is possible, and wherever you can tune in at home, listen and watch at home, please, may the Lord God bless you, and may He be with you. All together, we are grateful for this weekend. Who has to say something still? Brother Miskis? God willing, next weekend, we will be in Belgrade. Our brother Momo Petrovic is also blessed by God in a mighty way. All the circular letters, everything what we publish in the German language, he translates, our brother translates into the Serbo-Croatic language. And all in this region can read and can watch and listen to the DVDs. Also for this we are grateful. And God willing, we will even have a TV interview in the city of Belgrade. God is really opening everywhere the doors and hearts so that the last message can be brought there. Everything else be consecrated and entrusted to the Lord. His will be done. Let us thank the Lord once again that we truly have returned back to the beginning. Brother Schmidt, please close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom you have come to us. You have become like us, Lord, and you redeemed us. You purchased us. You made us your own possession, Lord, as living stones in your house. Please bless each one of us here at this place who are present here, and also all those who are not present here. Lord, you all know the circumstances. Please bless all who watched and saw online. Please give grace that we are of one mind, in unity, just as you prayed, Lord, in your high priest prayer, that we are one for the glory of your name. Bless our going in and our going out. Bless and keep everyone who will be on their ways back. Keep all for the glory of thy name. Amen. Hallelujah. Be praised. Hallelujah.